Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
New details are emerging about suspected killer Luigi Mangione's movements and thinking in the run-up to December the 4th last year, when he shot Brian Thompson, the CEO of one of America's largest health insurance companies in Midtown Manhattan in New York. A report in the New York Times has chronicled Mangione's travels in Asia in the year before the assassination, and the writing from his diaries released earlier this year are now being scrutinised for clues as to his motivation and his state of mind. Well, I'm joined by Harriet Alexander, who is senior features writer for the Daily Mail in New York. And Harriet, thank you for being with us this morning. I mean, we knew about the essentials of Mangione's life story, his private high school education, the fact that he was a computer science student and a data engineer. But his whereabouts and his actions in the months leading up to this shooting were, prior to this, unknown. So what have we learned now from these diaries and journals?
Well, it's really fascinating, Claire, to see where he was, what he was doing and who he was talking to. It starts in February of 2024. If you recall, he had had back surgery not very long ago, but he actually made a very remarkable recovery and was doing pretty well from it. So he was able to go to Asia, go backpacking. He talked about how he was traveling very light, which he said gave him real sense of purpose and direction. So he headed to Tokyo. He was in Tokyo in February. By March 2024, he was in Bangkok. And he spent some time with some young Americans, had some quite in-depth discussions with them in some of the bars of Bangkok. He also wrote in his diaries about how he got beaten up by what he called ladyboys. But there's particular interest on the fact that he then went back to Japan. He had met someone in Tokyo, in Bangkok, and was going to travel to Vietnam, but instead he wanted to go back to Japan. And that's when it was really actually quite fascinating what he did there.
And what do we learn about his thinking, his motivation, or what led him up to December 4th last year?
So while he was in Japan, he did a lot of self-reflection. He went to a place called Mount Omine, which is in the Nara Mountains. It's a mountain that is not frequented by many Westerners. It's a sacred mountain for Buddhists, for the Shugendo Buddhists. And it's supposed to give people who climb it supernatural powers. It was where ninja assassins used to go back in the day to try and get strength for their to carry out their attacks. And he was living what he described as a very Zen-like life. And he was writing a lot while he was there. He was really off the grid. He wasn't on his phone. He wasn't in contact with people back in the US. It seems to have had a big impact on him. And then he went to Mumbai in late May, where he met someone called Jash Dalani, who has written in support of the unit bomber, Ted Kaczynski. And that has seemed to have had an awful lot of impact on his thinking as well.
So he did a deep dive into the motivation and the writings of the unit bomber. People will remember that he had a 20-year bombing campaign that resulted in 3 deaths and 23 injuries. Do we know what his opinion, his viewpoint was on the Unabomber?
We do, yes. So by July, Mangione was back in San Francisco and he was still writing. He was keeping these very detailed diaries. In it, he said that the problem with Kaczynski was that his terrorist campaign overshadowed what Mangione felt was actually a very legitimate questioning of American society. And Mangione at this point was weighing up what to do. I mean, he writes about different options that he had. And by August 2024, he writes in his diary, "I finally feel confident about what I will do. The details are coming together and I don't feel any doubt about whether it's right/justified. I'm glad in a way that I've procrastinated because it allowed me to learn more about United Healthcare."
Okay, and we'll come back in a moment to his possible motivation for the shooting. But the New York Times has spoken to some of the people who met him while he was on that year or so traveling around Asia. What have people said about him, the type of person that he is?
Well, the people who met him in Bangkok, they've spoken to several of them who say that he was talking to them about AI. He was very intelligent. He was on his own. They had a few beers and they hung out together. They said that one of them said that when he talked about a medical procedure he had in Thailand, Mangione was astonished at how cheap it was, how affordable it was. And they talked about how terrible the health insurance system was in the United States. When he was in Japan, he does seem to have kept himself much more to himself. But I think these conversations in India, in Mumbai, were also very key with this person who was a real supporter in many ways of Ted Kaczynski. This Jash Dalani, he said that he opposed the murder of innocent people, but he thought that Kaczynski had some interesting ideas.
So that then, his experience with having health treatment and the MRI overseas and seeing the cost of it, that maybe points in the direction then of why he became interested in how healthcare is run in the United States. And there's an entry in his journal from the 22nd of October last year, which was just 6 weeks before the attack. And he gave some insight, didn't he, into his possible motivations for the attack on Brian Thompson.
Yes, that's right. He absolutely feels that that insurance is the way to go. And he also feels that, you know, he weighed up attacking the United Healthcare headquarters, but he said that was not a good idea because that killed too many people. And he was perhaps mindful of Ted Kaczynski, again, of being overshadowed by the violence, which sort of clouded, in Mangione's ideas, the real aim. So in October, he writes about the investor conference that Brian Thompson was attending, and he said it embodies everything wrong with our health system. And most importantly, the message becomes self-evident. The problem with most revolutionary acts is that the message is lost on normies. And he says, you know, that it's better to do a targeted attack that will really draw attention to his cause.
And we can see then, after he comes back to San Francisco in July, just a couple of months previous to that entry you've just been telling us about, that he is increasingly angry and frustrated at the US health insurance industry. It's really the subject of his full focus from that point on, isn't it?
That's right. And it's a bizarre one, honestly, Claire, because Mangione was someone really in the top levels of American society. His family was very wealthy. He had access to the best healthcare. He had this back surgery, but it was successful. It worked really well. It worked even better than people had thought. He does in his diary write about a brain fog. It's unclear what this could be. Some people have speculated that perhaps that means that he was abusing different substances, although there's not really been any proof of that. But this brain fog is quite interesting, and he does really seem, I suppose, from an intellectual point, to go against the healthcare industry. But again, he wasn't actually ever treated or covered by United Healthcare. So the precise targeting of that is in some ways surprising too.
And he even speculates, doesn't he, in these journals about what the headlines would be after the attack is carried out.
Yes, that's right. I mean, he talks about how he feels that this will be the way to get the correct headlines as he sees it. He wants people to talk about his concerns and the fact that he feels that the insurance industry is preying on people. And also he talks, of course, he left behind the bullets, which were engraved with the words deny and depose, which of course are common insurance terminology.
So where does his case stand now?
Well, he has pleaded not guilty. He is being held in prison. He has been charged with the murder. Of course, the prosecutors are relying heavily on this notebook. They are saying that it speaks for itself. The defense are trying to say that it was taken unlawfully from the police in Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure they will get much attention with that.
People might remember he was subject to so much media coverage in the aftermath of the shooting because he went on the run. There was a manhunt which people were very invested in, and you know, we could see every move playing out on our TV screens and in the media coverage at that time.
Yes, that's right. And I remember, you know, back in December, we thought that perhaps it was some, you know, some incredible targeted hitman, that it was someone who was highly trained, ex-military, etc. You know, all the TV commentators were speculating on that, because the fact that he managed to vanish was obviously very well prepared and seemed to disappear. But then 5 days later, he was caught in a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where he was just sitting with his laptop because somebody recognized him. So, you know, it's a really fascinating case, isn't it? On the one hand, someone who was very focused, very intelligent, very mindful of what they were doing. And yet, on the other hand, there's still an awful lot of gaps.
Harriet, thank you very much. That's the story of the suspected killer Luigi Mangione and his newly released writings, diaries and journals. Harriet Alexander is senior features writer for the Daily Mail in New York.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.